Let us pray. Holy God, in this Advent season, create in us an expectation of your presence and strip away the trivia from our lives so that nothing distracts us from you. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. As Christmas rolled around one year, a father asked his little girl, "What do you want for Christmas?" Knowing that her mom was expecting, she said, "A baby brother." Sure enough, just on cue, on Christmas Eve, mom comes home with a brand new baby boy. Later that evening, after the excitement had died down, dad asked his little girl, "What do you want for Christmas next year?" The little girl thinks for a while and says, "Well, if it wouldn't make mom too uncomfortable, I'd like a pony." What do you want for Christmas this year? If you could have anything, your heart's desire, whatever is at the top of your list, what would that be? World peace? The end of disease and hunger? Alexis? I mean, let's get right down to it. I mean, have you seen those TV commercials where someone walks out of their house and they're parked in the driveway is this ash gray Lexus with a big bow on top? I mean, wouldn't that be nice? The human heart is full of desire. Every one of us could probably sit down and come up with a really long list of things that we think would make us happy. A pony, a Lexus, a spouse, a great new job opportunity. That is why I think Christmas is so exciting. It taps into our subconscious sense that there's something out there that is waiting to surprise us, just waiting to be unwrapped, that will quench the thirsting in our souls. Today, in our gospel lesson, John calls us to look beyond those kind of desires, reminding us that we can actually anticipate something deeper, put our hearts on something greater, and that soon his listeners will actually encounter what they've been looking for all along. What is it that we are most looking for? And where will we find that? Our Advent season begins with John, this voice crying out in the wilderness, the one preparing the way for the ministry of Jesus. And actually, if you listened carefully, warning people that they need to rid their lives of everything that distracts them from God. With all that life puts on us, all the things happening in this world that clamor for our time and attention, John reminds us to stay on the right track. Riches, success, status, more stuff, they are distractions and decoys. An officer was sitting in her squad car outside a bar in Corbin, Kentucky. She was sitting there, sort of half hidden behind some trees, waiting and thinking that it was inevitable that someone would come out of the bar who had had too much to drink and try to drive. Sure enough, after last call, some guy comes out stumbling from the bar. He can only walk 5 or 6 feet before he stumbles again. Then he comes to his vehicle, climbs into it. He sits there in the vehicle in a daze while other patrons emerge from the bar. They get in their vehicles, they drive off. After a little while, he finally decides, apparently, to start his car. He first turns on the windshield wipers, then the blinkers, then he honks the horn. Finally, he gets the engine started. Meanwhile, other patrons are emerging from the bar and taking off. Finally, when the bar is completely emptied out, he manages to get his vehicle in gear. He rolls slowly across the parking lot, begins to turn out into the main road when the officer turns on the sirens, roars up to this car, gets out and says, "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to take a breathalyzer test." And so he does. And it registers nothing. Oh, I'm going to have to ask you to come down to the station. This breathalyzer must be broken. No, I doubt it, the man says. Tonight, I'm the designated decoy. We're like that officer in the squad car. We're watching, we're waiting. Decoys and distractions come along the path in life, and most often the decoys and most often the distractions are money and success and status. And we say to ourselves, I've got a little bit now, but I know that I can have so much more. Wait until I get to that next rung in the socioeconomic ladder. Then I'm going to be truly happy. And we get there and nope, that didn't work. And then we go to the next rung and the next rung. Friends, there's nothing that you can get under the Christmas tree this year or that can be parked outside of your house that can quench ultimately the longing in your soul. So what then is that longing, what is our soul deeply searching for? John tells us here, it is the kingdom of God. You may not know it, John says, but what you have always been looking for is to experience God's reality in your life. In Jesus' teaching, the kingdom of God is the pearl of great price, the hidden treasure in a field. It's worth selling all we have for just that. So what is the kingdom of God? It's any place, any space where God rules, where God's presence is recognized and welcomed and adored. And so when I invite God to come into the very center of my life and rule there, my heart becomes part of the kingdom of God. When I finally reach that point in life when I say, God, you know, I've been chasing after an awful lot of decoys, and I've got nowhere with that. I finally reached a point in my life where I'm ready to ask you within. It's then, Jesus says, that we begin to enter kingdom territory and the potential of discovering some amazing spiritual treasures in our life. I want to talk just about two of those. What kind of gifts, what kind of treasures do we find when we enter into kingdom territory? Well, first, I think we have the potential of finding a peace that surpasses understanding. I mean, isn't this something that we are deeply looking for? Peace, the real thing, authentic peace in our lives. Two artists were asked to paint their interpretation of peace. The first artist took a fairly conventional approach and painted a bucolic country scene in the springtime, a picture of bright green fields illuminated by the sun, a deep blue sky, puffy clouds. The second artist painted a very different notion, painting the top of a mountain, a craggy, jutting rock face with a gnarled tree twisted by years of wind, and a dark, heavy sky, clouds moving in, lightning slashing across the sky. At first glance at this, you would think that this was the very antithesis of peace. But if you look closer at the painting, you would find nestled in a crevice in the cliff face, just beyond the reach of the wind and the rain, there's a bird's nest with two birds, cozy, sitting there serenely waiting for the turbulence to pass. Now that is peace. And Jesus indicates in his teaching that he wants us to have that kind of peace, even when the days seem evil, the kind of peace that is not determined by the circumstances we find ourselves in, the kind of peace that keeps us serene even during storms that we have in our life. In John 14:27, he says, "My peace I want to give to you. My peace I offer to leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." The world can offer us ponies and Lexuses. Jesus is offering us something of far more value than that. And when we begin to experience that peace, it can happen when we reach the point in our life when we say, God, I'm tired of flailing against the winds of this world. I'm tired of doing it my way all the time. Come in and let me experience the wind of your spirit. Take charge, and like those two little birds, I will accept whatever circumstances you bring into my life. I will stop fighting. It's when we do that that we begin to discover the peace that surpasses understanding in our life. On Reddit, I saw a picture of a little kitten walking past a long line of enormous police dogs. And the thing about the picture is that the kitten seems completely unfazed. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Isn't that in part what we are looking for out of our spiritual lives? The kind of peace that we can look death itself in the face and still have serenity in our souls. But there is one more gift that we are given when we enter into kingdom territory. We begin to discover not just that kind of peace, but also life's greatest friendship. One day, a woman in her 20s called the new priest at her church. "Father, you don't know my dad, but he's been critically ill for some time, and I was wondering if you could pay him a visit." So the priest one day swings by the house, knocks on the door. The daughter is apparently not there, but he hears a voice say, "Come in." He opens the door, he goes in, and he sees an elderly man lying there in a portable bed. He sees a couple of pillows propping up his head and an empty wooden chair sitting next to the bed. "Ah," the priest said, "it looks like you were expecting me." "No," the old man says, "who are you?" "Oh, well, your daughter asked me if I might stop by to visit you. I thought you might be expecting me with that empty chair sitting there." "Ah, the empty chair," he says. "Well, sit down and I will tell you the story of this chair. I've not even told my daughter about this. Several years ago, I was struggling and talking to one of my friends who said to me, 'Friend, praying doesn't have to be so difficult. It's just a conversation with God. Here's what you do. Go home, sit down in a chair, put an empty chair in front of you, place God in that chair, and just have a conversation.' So I tried that, and it has made all the difference, especially in my illness. It's good to have this reminder of the presence of Jesus with me and to talk with me. I'm careful not to do it with my daughter here because she might think I'm crazy talking to an empty chair." The priest and the man continued to have conversation, and then the priest eventually left. A couple of days later, the phone rings in the church office. It was the young woman. "I just wanted to call to let you know that my father passed." "Are you okay?" the priest said. "Well, it's a strange thing. I went to the grocery and came back to find my father in an odd position. He was lying half on his bed, and halfway he had his head resting on the hard seat of his empty chair. Father, what do you make of that?" The priest said, "I wish we could all go that way." In God, we find life's greatest friend. Because God is with us. Loved ones will die. Friends will sometimes betray us, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus Christ offers that kind of friendship. When I look back over the course of my life, I remember when I was younger, I was still trying to make the decision whether to go into medicine, be a medical doctor, or follow the tugging on my heart to go into ordained ministry. I'd been cautioned by some people. Ministry can be stressful. I saw people whose faith had even been damaged by that. But I knew God was leading me in an important direction. And I spoke with other spiritual mentors who encouraged me. And I remember going out one night to speak with God about this under the starry sky. And I said, "God, you know, I'm reaching a place of peace with this within me. If I'm on the wrong track, I need you to guide me. I need you to steer me in the right direction, because all I want to do is serve you." And I listened in my soul for the voice of my friend. And the voice I heard, it doesn't matter if it was audible or not, the voice I heard was, "This is who I made you to be, John." When I look back at the key junctures in my life, I think, where would I be without God as my friend? Someone who I can say anything to, the deepest secrets of my heart. Someone to whom I can pour out my burdens. This is the friendship we are offered with God. Advent calls us to take inventory of the clutter in our lives that keeps us from full and open-hearted commitment to God and full and open communication with God. John calls us to be alert. There are many decoys out there. But sisters and brothers, the truth is, this Advent and Christmas, there is only one gift that will ultimately quench the longing of our souls. This one gift will bring us peace of mind and heart. There is only one gift in the end that really matters. And that gift is to know Emmanuel, God with us. Let us prepare our hearts for him. Amen.